Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. And to all of the moms out here, tonight's show is especially important to you. We're going to be talking about specifically women's health issues. And of course, the men in your life care about you, so it's important to you as well. Last week, we spoke about a rare, relatively rare, but devastating disease in ovarian cancer, as well as other cancers like cervical cancer, for example, that affect women. Today, we're going to talk about quality of life issues. We're going to be talking about women's health issues that are not rare. They're so common, but people don't want to talk about it. More than 50% of all women over the age of 50 will likely struggle with some of the disease that my guest, Dr. Arash Rahi, who is a urogynecological specialist specializing in life-altering symptoms that can impact so many women. We're going to talk more about it in a minute. Trust me, this is fascinating, and Dr. Rahi is passionate about improving the quality of life for women over 50 suffering with these urogynecological issues. And I'm so excited about the show we're about to do. But before I get there, I just want to remind everybody that we're still in the middle of our family caregiving workshop that myself and Tino are doing at Ruth Rao's Jewish Family Services. It's Friday from 11 to 12. The crowd grew last week from the week before. We hope that you'll come. We have a couple of more weeks. If you're a family caregiver with a loved one struggling with Alzheimer's and dementia, please think about coming to us. If not, and you miss it, we are going to repeat that series at Discovery Village coming up soon. I'll be more about that in just a few weeks. Also, I'm pretty excited. I'm going to be one of a panel of authors speaking on Friday at Palm Isles. It's going to be terrific, an author's luncheon. I'm going to be talking about my book and why it may be important to you. I encourage you to come if you can. It's at Palm Isles on Friday, a lunch event, and I look forward to being there. And also, I'm going to be speaking to mostly professionals, but the regular community is involved. I'm going to be at the old Newport Place, Brookdale, North Boynton Beach. I'm going to be there Wednesday morning at 8:30, talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. But enough about me. Now to my guest. Dr. Arash Rahi holds a Bachelor of Arts with honors from NYU College of Arts and Science, where he studied biochemistry, mathematics, and French. As an undergraduate student, he was the recipient of several recognitions in chemistry and was selected a Turner Scholar. He attended the University of Paris as an exchange student after completing his undergraduate studies. He attended NYU School of Medicine and obtained his degree of Doctor of Medicine. Upon receiving his MD, Dr. Rahi secured an internship and subsequent residency in obstetrics and gynecology at the University of Pennsylvania. He then returned to the NYU School of Medicine and continued to hone his abilities with an accredited 3-year fellowship in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery. While there, Dr. Rahi received the National Institutes of Health K30 Clinical Research Curriculum Award, which afforded him the opportunity to complete his Master of Science in Clinical Research and Translational Medicine from New York University School of Medicine. That sentence is the most highbrow we're going to say this whole evening, because we're going to talk to you at your level, so hang in there. Dr. Rahi is board certified in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery. He is also board certified in the field of obstetrics and gynecology. His main clinical interests are the prevention and treatment of pelvic organ prolapse, urinary and fecal incontinence, bladder and bowel dysfunction, minimally invasive surgery, natural body orifice surgery, and advanced vaginal surgery. Dr. Rahi has held faculty positions at the University of Pennsylvania and at New York University and the New York College, New York Medical College. And prior to joining FRIMIU, which I don't know what that is, but we're going to find out, he served as the chief of urogynecology, female pelvic medicine, and robotic reconstructive surgery at Westchester Medical Center. Today, Dr. Rahi specializes in urogynecology and advanced minimally invasive and robotic gynecological surgery at Florida Robotic and Minimally Invasive Urogynecology right here in Florida. So welcome to the show, Dr. Rahi. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for having me over, and thank you for the awesome work that you're doing with your program.
Thank you so much. So the word urogynecology is a word I had never heard before. I assume many of my listeners have not. So why don't we start at the beginning? What is urogynecology?
Phenomenal question. It's actually funny that you asked me that. Many years ago when I decided to go into urogynecology, a good friend of mine, his sister, asked me, what is urogynecology? Does it mean that you're only going to deliver European babies? But this is around 2002, 2003, where Euro was a big deal at the time. And I had to explain, no, that's not the case. It's a field that combines the surgical specialties of OBGYN, urology, and colorectal surgery. So what happened was a couple of physicians for many decades have been doing these types of procedures, and at some point they wanted to sit down and put their expertise together, and that's how the name of the field came about. There were a lot of urologists, there were a lot of gynecologists, and that's the name of urogynecology where it started. Of course, there's a lot of colorectal surgery influence in this field as well as plastic surgery, but it would have been a very bizarre name if you wanted to put all of those names together. What ended up happening was the field was finally recognized in 2011 as a separate subspecialty. The name for the field, the official name for the field, is female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery. Try saying FPMRS 10 times in a row. That would be a mouthful. So still many of the physicians refer to the field as urogynecology or female urology. We are either urologists that did further training in this field or gynecologists that did further training in this field, or sometimes more rarely we are colorectal surgeons that did further training in this field, but we are all essentially doing the same thing.
But the focus here is the unique position that this is women focused. It's female focused. So you may be trained in urology and colorectal surgery. Gynecology obviously would exclude men. But it is very different dealing with the female population in this arena than it is for men, correct?
Yes and no. So what is so special about this field is for some reason when our bodies were created or designed or how we evolved, however you look at it, we have one part of the body where all these different organ systems come to. So when you look at the pelvis, you have the nervous structures that are there, the very strong bones, the pelvic bones that are holding our weight are there. You have the GI system, the bowels, what's in charge of getting rid of the excrements in our body. You have the urinary system, and of course our reproductive organs are all there. And in the beginning, we had different subspecialties looking at this. But when a problem comes about, let's say you have pain, your gynecologist may say, well, it's not my problem. It sends you to the urologist. The urologist says, oh, it's not my problem. Go see someone else. And you get pushed back and forth between many different subspecialties. So when this field came about, it kind of brought all those expertise together. So you go to see one person who deals with these issues that in many cases are not just originating from one body organ system. They may be coming from different areas. Women have been lucky that their advocates have made a bigger deal about bringing these systems together and creating the subspecialty. I believe there is certainly a need for men to have a similar subspecialty created for them, except it hasn't materialized yet.
Well, and you're right. Women are better at advocating for themselves. That's absolutely true. So just so we can frame the debate here or the conversation, no debate, the conversation, what do you take care of? And how big a problem is this? Because when you and I talked in preparation, I was astounded by the scope of this problem.
So anything that's impacting pelvic floor is what I design, what I take care of. So let's talk about what pelvic floor is. Imagine we are a couple of months away from Halloween, but imagine your neighbor hanging a skeleton off their tree or something, and just look at that. Imagine what the pelvic structure, the pelvic bone looks like. In that pelvic bone, you see that bone that's towards the front, the pubic bone. That bone is where all of this problem starts. So when we were four-legged animals walking on four all the time, that bone would be in the bottom, the lowest part of the pelvis, kind of holding the weight of any type of pelvic organs. But at some point, we decided to be smart and stood up, or somehow we started. We still inherited the same skeleton from our four-legged animals. As a result, now we have that pelvic bone, the pubic bone that was supposed to hold the weight of everything, moved to the front, and now we have a big hole in the bottom of the pelvis. Now, if we were supposed to do what we were good at, which was either die in childbirth in our 20s or get eaten up by the lion in our 20s, this wouldn't be an issue. But eventually, that big hole that's in the bottom of the pelvis is covered by a muscle, and eventually the muscles give. So now we have a scenario where there's nothing holding the weight of the pelvic organs. The bone is up front, so it doesn't do anything, and the muscle eventually recedes after childbirth, after doing a lot of heavy activities, after picking heavy items. Eventually that muscle doesn't do it anymore. So now we have a scenario where the pelvic organs are protruding downward. It's not common only to women. So in women, just imagine that muscle that holds this up. There are a couple of organs that have to go through that muscle. You have the rectum, you have the anus that goes through this, that's for doing number two. You have the vaginal canal, that's for intercourse as well as childbirth, and you have the urethra. So in women, there are three structures that go through that big muscle in the bottom of the pelvis, and eventually when the muscles recede, these three organ systems start having an issue. In men, you don't have the vaginal canal, you have essentially the urethra as well as the anus or the rectum that come through it. In men also, you see some of these symptoms. So as a result, the conditions that I treat impact 50 to 70% of women by the age of 50, which is an astoundingly high number. And somewhere about, we think, 30 to 50% of men by the age of 70. If you look at the bottom of an elderly gentleman, that area that's between the testes and the anus, we call that the perineum. If you look at the perineum of an elderly gentleman, you see it's kind of sagging down. And that's essentially the same thing as when your grandma says, hey, my bladder was falling out today, or I had to have my bladder tacked up.
So the 50 to 70%, this is not something that anybody talks about, right? So how does it present? And do people just assume it's normal? We're going to talk about this a lot, but that's an astounding number, 50 to 70%, and it presents in different ways for different people, correct?
Unfortunately, you're absolutely right. Unfortunately, the number is very high, but the number, the reason that it's not really well reported is it's associated with things that we are kind of feeling ashamed about. So what I treat is improvements in the bowel function, in urinary function, in sexual function, or pelvic pain. No one would volunteer that, hey, yesterday when I was running on the treadmill, I had a large urinary accident. I had to go change my clothes. All of our culture is geared towards hiding these symptoms whenever they occur. So many of my women who I deal with have had this for many, many years, and they have just either been told, you know what, this is part of getting old, just deal with it, or they have been too ashamed to step forward. Now, it's funny, I have clusters of patients that are related to each other. What happens is one patient eventually somehow finds her way and gets the treatment, and all of a sudden the entire family starts talking about it, and all of a sudden, everyone in the family steps forward saying, yeah, I have that problem as well. I have that problem. Or, yeah, I had urinary issues. I had my bladder had fallen down and I was feeling it. I didn't know there was something that I could do about it. So part of it is lack of education. Part of it is the feeling of shame that we associate with our pelvic organs that make us not come forward and present the problems.
If you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Tonight, I'm talking with Dr. Arush Rahi, who is a urogynecologist specializing in urogynecology, and we've been talking about what that is. The issues that he deals with affect, as we just learned, 50% of women by the time they reach the age of 50, and it's really, really important. And it affects your self-esteem, it affects your quality of life, and you don't have to live with all of these. And we're going to talk about exactly how it impacts people. We're going to talk about potential treatments. We're going to talk about the fact that you just simply don't have to live with this. Dr. Rahi I read his bio before. He certainly is a specialist in this area. If you are listening on 900 AM, the talk of the Palm Beaches. You're listening live because it's Monday night, a little after 5, and you can call us. I'll give you the number in just a second. If you're listening on Long Island or in Gainesville or on 95.9 The Palm on Saturday morning, of course, we're on tape. But if you have questions for Dr. Rahi, you can reach out to me, and I can get them to him after the show. But if you are listening live, driving up and down 95 after work, you can write this number down if you're in a safe place, please, and call us if you have any questions at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, caregiver stress is really a silent killer, isn't it?
It really is, Mike. The statistics are astounding. Nearly 64% of family caregivers taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia without having outside help will predecease their loved one who has Alzheimer's and dementia. The stress of taking care of a loved one with a chronic disease can take a terrible toll, and the need for a respite is never more apparent than when you're feeling the most stressed.
So, Scott, your services can be provided for just a couple of hours a day so we can live our normal life.
Yes, Mike. Even a couple of hours away from the family member who is struggling with a chronic disease can give you the break that you need to take care of yourself. Get your hair done, go out and play cards, maybe a round of golf, go see a movie. All of these are things that will help you take care of your loved one better if you're in a better frame of mind. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Tino Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Tino, you guys are really going above and beyond when it comes to training your staff for Alzheimer's care.
So, Mike, a lot of people complain about their caregivers being on the phone all day. At Comfort Care, we are training our caregivers to keep your loved ones active, engaged, and stimulated.
And Tino, what are some of the things you're doing to make your caregivers better equipped to take care of people with Alzheimer's?
So twice a month, I'm bringing our caregivers in to our office for specialized training on behavior modification and cognitive stimulation activities designed to keep your loved ones active when the caregivers are there staying with them. We find caregivers respond favorably when they have the tools at their disposal to take care of your loved one. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of your life. So let our family take care of your family. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. If you're just tuning in, it's a fascinating show tonight. My guest, Dr. Rahi, who is a urogynecologist. It's a fascinating subject. The symptoms that he deals with, the conditions that he addresses affect 50% of women by the time they reach the age of 50. It's really fascinating. Dr. Rahi, during the break, we talked about, you know, what are some of the symptoms and exactly how serious this is for people. So why don't we go there?
And this is more of a quality of life type of field. However, the impact on quality of life could be extremely severe. Some of the things I treat are changes in frequency of bowel and bladder function. So there are some poor patients who end up having urinary incontinence. They have to invest a lot of money in incontinence pads. Occasionally, the family gives up on taking care of the elderly who have incontinence issues, whether it's urinary or fecal. And sadly, fecal incontinence is the leading cause of admission to nursing homes for the elderly, followed very closely by urinary incontinence. So fecal incontinence, urinary incontinence, or some changes in the frequency. If, let's say, you have to wake up 5 or 6 times every night to go to the bathroom, that interferes with the sleep you're getting. We know sleep is very important for maintaining and forming new memories. So all of a sudden, we have a very healthy adult who has no underlying neurologic disease, but there is massive loss of memory that happens because of the sleep disturbances. Many people, when they think of pelvic area, they think of intercourse. Of course, intercourse is very important for function, but I'm going to quote, I'm paraphrasing, this is not the exact quotation from Mark Twain, who once said, having good sex is overrated and having a normal bowel and bladder function is underrated. And we see that very true. When the pelvic area starts giving up, whether it's going to the bathroom constantly, if you're driving up and down 95 and you know every single rest area where you can stop by and empty your bladder, we know this is really impacting your quality of life. When you have to wake up a couple of times every night and empty your bladder, we know that's not going to lead to a healthy day and an energetic day. If you're spending a lot of money dealing with incontinence pads, or if the whole concept of you don't want to go out or associate with friends just because you're worried something might happen and that keeps you away from doing your daily activities, this is a severe impact. What I treat is essentially changes in the bowel and bladder function, whether it's increase in frequency, untimely frequency. You go to the bathroom, you empty your bladder, 5 minutes later, you go and only have five more drops left. Your bladder should not be telling you this all the time, but if your bladder keeps annoying you with it, that's something I treat. Pelvic pain is a very, very humbling part of what I treat, because patient comes to you, you don't find anything right up front as far as what is causing the pain, but the pain has been so severe for many years and the patient is completely disabled for it. So these are typical patients that have been turned down by medical societies over and over. They have been accused of malingering or accused of trying to seek medication, but they have some real things that are bothering them, and it becomes very difficult to diagnose and treat them properly.
Is it more prevalent in women than it is in men? I know we're talking about women primarily tonight, but do men suffer with the same symptoms?
Yes, they do. Unfortunately, in women, it's higher. The reason, as I think, of course, it's a theory that we think of, the muscle, the levator ani muscle, which is the muscle that covers the bottom of the pelvis, has only two openings in men, and in women it's three openings. So imagine if you have some sort of a support structure that has three openings in it, it's more prone to failing or giving you a hard time. So unfortunately, these are more prevalent in women, but unfortunately, men who have these symptoms are not getting the proper care either, because these are better known in women and not in men as much.
So I have lots of questions, good thing we have lots of time. But nobody wants to talk about these things, right? I mean, the commercials on television make it seem like mild leaking when you laugh or cough or run or exercise mild is normal. I guess it is if half the people are struggling with it. But people don't talk to their doctor, or if they talk to their doctor, does their doctor poo-poo the symptoms? So.
Well, it's all a matter of how much of awareness there is in the medical community as well as among people. So traditionally, medicine has looked at preventing death or prolonging life. And these are things that are not really impact prolonging life as much, but these are quality of life. However, they impact your life very severely when those things don't work. Sometimes physicians, especially in more rural communities, they are not aware of such treatments that our societies, the female pelvic medicine reconstructive surgery societies, or urogynecologists, female urologists, the things that we can do, sometimes these are not really known to even to the medical provider. So if you're seeing the same physician for 20 years, your doctor says, you know what, my wife has had this forever, my grandma had it forever, it's not going to kill you, it's just part of getting old, so just deal with it. However, as I mentioned, there are all these patient clusters that I come across. There seems to be some sort of we talk about it amongst ourselves as the sisterhood of silence. Everyone has the same thing. No one wants to talk about it. But once one person mentions it, everyone comes forward and says, yes, I have it as well. There's no reason to feel any shame for it. As long as gravity is around, these things will happen. As long as we are walking on two, these things will happen. Maybe down the road when we are doing space travel and we are in this International Space Agency without any gravity, this wouldn't be as much of a problem. But for the time being, this is a severe, severe thing. And providers there are not a lot of providers in this field. Our society has about 1,500, 1,600 members now, even though the need for it is extremely high.
And growing. We're going to talk more with my guest, Dr. Arash Rahi, about urogynecological symptoms. We haven't even begun to touch treatment, but there are treatments. There is hope. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. If you're just tuning in, of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God,
I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. If it's Monday night, it's 900 a.m., the talk of the Palm Beaches, and we're live if you're driving up and down 95. We hope you enjoyed this most beautiful day and that you're being quite careful. If you're on a turnpike, the cost is the same. If you're listening on Long Island at 103.9 Long Island's Talk Radio, we're glad that you're tuning in. And, of course, in Gainesville, 104.9, Gainesville's Talk Radio station, we're glad that you are listening. And we replay this show every Saturday morning at 95.9 FM, The Palm. And wherever you listen, we hope that you are enjoying the show. We're talking about urogynecology. Dr. Arash Rahi is here. He's a specialist in this very, very important field. And as soon as we come back, we're going to talk about treatments, and we're going to talk about some of the things that maybe you should be aware of early, because early intervention can, in fact, be helpful. So if you have any questions for Dr. Rahi or myself, call us at 1-877-960-9960, 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, caregiver stress is really a silent killer, isn't it?
It really is, Mike. The statistics are astounding. Nearly 64% of family caregivers taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia without having outside help will predecease their loved one who has Alzheimer's and dementia. The stress of taking care of a loved one with a chronic disease can take a terrible toll, and the need for a respite is never more apparent than when you're feeling the most stressed.
So, Scott, your services can be provided for just a couple of hours a day, so we can live our normal life.
Yes, Mike. Even a couple of hours away from the family member who is struggling with a chronic disease can give you the break that you need to take care of yourself. Get your hair done, go out and play cards, maybe a round of golf, go see a movie. All of these are things that will help you take care of your loved one better if you're in a better frame of mind. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Tino Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Tino, you guys are really going above and beyond when it comes to training your staff for Alzheimer's care.
So, Mike, a lot of people complain about their caregivers being on the phone all day. At Comfort Care, we are training our caregivers to keep your loved ones active, engaged, and stimulated.
And Tino, what are some of the things you're doing to make your caregivers better equipped to take care of people with Alzheimer's?
So twice a month, I'm bringing our caregivers in to our office for specialized training on behavior modification and cognitive stimulation activities designed to keep your loved ones active when the caregivers are there staying with them. We find caregivers respond favorably when they have the tools at their disposal to take care of your loved one. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of your life. So let our family take care of your family. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Here tonight with Dr. Arash Rahi, who is a noted urogynecologist. He is a specialist in urogynecology, and we've been talking about what that is for the first half of the show. We're going to be talking about some of the other issues. He wants to talk about prolapse. We're going to talk about that first. We're talking particularly about issues that affect nearly half of all women by the time they reach the age of 50, and it does impact your quality of life. So we're glad that you're here on Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom. And tonight, particularly addressing women, Dr. Rahi is talking about subjects that are really, really important. So Dr. Rahi, let's talk about prolapse. I don't really understand it, and I guess I shouldn't, but you do, so let's talk about it.
It's not that complicated. Essentially, what is happening is vaginal canal is a low-pressure area, and bladder and bowel, they are higher pressure. So bladder is holding the urine, and the urine wants to get out. Your body is fighting the urine from getting out, so the pressure of urine is a little bit higher than what it is, let's say, in the vagina. In the vagina, there's nothing. It's just a closed wall that is not open. Of course, during intercourse, the vagina expands. During childbirth, the vagina expands. But normally, vagina is a collapsed area. Same thing about the rectum. So the rectum is also a high-pressure environment. Anyone who's ever had a severe urge to run to the bathroom would understand that pressure, what it means. Now, there are support structures around the vagina that would prevent the bladder from coming into the vagina or rectum from coming into the vagina. When those things fail, essentially, it's like a hernia. So when people have a hernia and the bowel is pushing through the abdominal wall or pushes through the belly button, there's a weakness in that connective tissue that is supposed to hold the bowel in, and the bowel somehow finds a way and pushes through the belly button or pushes into the inguinal canal, and that's how people have inguinal hernias. The same idea. So bladder finds a way through that connective tissue and pushes into the vagina, or bowel finds a way and pushes into the vagina. What that would present is if some patients talk about a feeling of pressure or heaviness that's there, especially at the end of a day. So when you're laying down at night in bed, everything is where it's supposed to be. But when you stand up, gradually things are pushing down the axis into the vagina. And especially if you have a heavy day with picking up heavy things, running, any type of a strenuous activity, you start feeling this heaviness that gets progressively worse during the day. So patients say, I have this feeling of heaviness at the end of a day that I don't have in the morning. Another thing patients complain about is when they go to the bathroom and they are wiping, they feel this extra flesh. Some people say it's like a balloon. Some people say it's like extra tissue that sits there. And that's, some people even are able to see it because it can be to the point that it actually protrudes from the body. In and of itself, it's not dangerous, but if it becomes, if the bladder protrudes enough into the vagina to the point that it's kind of kinked, patients can't empty their bladder well. So some patients, instead of saying, I feel prolapse, I feel something coming down, they say, wow, I used to be able to empty my bladder completely, but now I empty my bladder, then I still have to sit on the toilet and shift myself back and forth or left or right, and eventually I get more urine out. Or they empty their bladder, and as soon as they're about to stand up, they have more coming out. Some patients say, you know what, I used to have no constipation, but even though I'm eating healthy, no matter what I do, I can't get everything out when I have a bowel movement. I still feel something is left behind. And unfortunately, sitting there and pushing doesn't really solve the issue, because this is a structural issue. When everything protrudes into the vagina, it becomes more of a structural issue, anatomical issue. Some patients, after intercourse, they feel, wow, I just had intercourse, and now I feel I have to run to the bathroom. Again, during intercourse, whatever is protruding into the vagina, whether it's bladder or rectum, can be pushed up into its anatomical place, and now all of a sudden, the sensation of having to run to the bathroom comes about.
So, when we talk about quality of life issues, that's really about quality of life. Things like this can affect your ability to date, you know, to your social life. You're afraid to do. I mean, I told you during the break of a friend of ours who lost her husband, wanted to date and was afraid to date because of the issues that you described. She was afraid to have intercourse. She was afraid that she would be put in that position. And not that she didn't want to, but it was either painful. So all of these things there can be life altering.
Absolutely, absolutely. And people, sometimes the feeling of shame that's associated with them not only prevent them from having an intimate relationship with their loved one, sometimes just feeling that you may have a bowel movement or you may have a urinary accident would even prevent you from going out to the dance floor that all your friends are going to, or sitting down at a bingo table and playing because you're worried, oh my God, what if something happens and I'd feel embarrassed? So even though these are not things that would kill patients, these are things that would severely impact their ability to socialize with them, whether it's with an intimate situation with a partner or if it's just seeing a friend and going shopping with them.
And are there early warning signs of these things? Are there things that women should be aware of early that portend more difficult problems down the road? Or is this kind of just happen when you get older?
Women are much better in this than men are. Women know their bodies well. But if you start noticing things are gradually shifting, whether it's changes in bowel function, changes in bladder function, feeling more pressure at the end of the day, anything that's not usual, women usually find out about these things right away. And then there's the issue of kind of denying it within your own head or kind of trying to negate, oh yeah, this is probably because I had a rough day today, or so we are aware of these symptoms, but we always find excuses not to mention it. Eventually we see the doctor. Maybe the doctor is too busy for us that day. Maybe they had to squeeze you in into the appointment, so you don't bring it up. So it just goes on and on forever. It's funny that some of my patients, I talk to them, I say, okay, fine, you're here in my office telling me that you have these symptoms. How long ago did it start? And very often patients say, well, it started 2 weeks ago. And I ask them, oh, fine, so before 2 weeks ago, were you perfectly okay? And then they sit down and think and say, no, maybe 15 years ago is when I started having these symptoms. But it got to the point where they couldn't ignore it anymore. It got to the point where the impact on quality of life was severe that they had to do to finally do something about it. And by the time they go through the motions and they see their urologist or they see their gynecologist and then they eventually get referred out to a urogynecologist, by then many, many years sometimes have passed. Unfortunately, the urogyn community is still quite a small community. There are many urologists and gynecologists that do some of these procedures, but the people who are board certified and fellowship trained in this field, as I mentioned, there's a pretty small community
of
them.
Yeah, it's very rare. If you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Having a fascinating conversation tonight with Dr. Arash Rahi. Dr. Rahi is a urogynecologist specializing in urogynecological issues for the predominantly female population. 50% of women by the time they reach the age of 50 will have some of the problems that we've been talking about tonight. What we haven't talked yet about is treatment, and it doesn't always involve surgery, and a lot of people are afraid to deal with these issues because they're afraid that the only way to fix the things that are troubling them or the symptoms that they are dealing with is through surgery, and that is not true, and we're going to learn about that when we come back. If you have questions for Dr. Rahi, call us at 1-877-960-9960. It's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, caregiver stress is really a silent killer, isn't it?
It really is, Mike. The statistics are astounding. Nearly 64% of family caregivers taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia without having outside help will predecease their loved one who has Alzheimer's and dementia. The stress of taking care of a loved one with a chronic disease can take a terrible toll, and the need for a respite is never more apparent than when you're feeling the most stressed.
So, Scott, your services can be provided for just a couple of hours a day so we can live our normal life.
Yes, Mike. Even a couple of hours away from the family member who is struggling with a chronic disease can give you the break that you need to take care of yourself. Get your hair done, go out and play cards, maybe a round of golf, go see a movie. All of these are things that will help you take care of your loved one better if you're in a better frame of mind. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Allison Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Allison, Comfort Care is a family-owned and operated business.
We are, Mike. It's myself, my husband Tino, and my parents Irene and Scott. We're all thoroughly involved in the day-to-day operations of the business. So many of our clients' families do not live locally and therefore count on us to be their local eyes and ears. Every one of our clients has access to an owner day or night, and we do monitor our office phones 24 hours, 7 days a week by a member of our office staff.
So, Allison, family's very important to you guys at Comfort Care Senior Services.
It really is, Mike. I was very involved with my grandmother before she passed away, so we understand how important it is for everyone in the family, not just the senior needing care, to be a part of the equation. We talk to family members on a regular basis. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom, with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, all. If your mom is getting older, it is likely that she is struggling with the symptoms of the diseases that we talked about so far tonight with my guest, Dr. Arash Rahi, who is a urogynecologist. We've been talking about all the things that affect women as they age. But one of the things we haven't talked about yet is treatment. And there are treatments, and they're not as complex, perhaps, as somebody might think that they are. So, Dr. Rahi, let's talk about some treatments.
Thank you. The best treatment, of course, is prevention. Now, sometimes you're good at preventing things, sometimes you're not. And this is one of those toss-ups. So this happens, as I mentioned earlier, it's a gravity issue. It's a fact that our bodies interact with gravity as well as the other forces that are coming onto the pelvic floor. Some people have better quality tissue, some people don't. So some are just more prone to having it. Things that put you at risk for this are having a very strenuous, heavy lifestyle, picking up heavy things. Actually, weightlifting is one of the worst things for the pelvic floor. Chronic constipation, chronic cough, asthma is another one of the risk factors. Many people assume that having a vaginal delivery is a risk factor, and if you haven't had children, you're not at risk for this. That's not really true. There's a very large subset of patients who've never had children, and they still have this. Some patients try to avoid a vaginal delivery and go for a cesarean section to have some protection, but again, our data shows that there is no reason to put yourself at risk for a cesarean section. Having a vaginal delivery or C-section, it's just the weight of the pregnancy that does the damage. It's not really the delivery itself that has much of an impact.
That's interesting.
So having a healthy lifestyle, healthy diet, healthy weight, of course, improves the chances that you wouldn't have these symptoms. If there's an underlying cough or constipation going on, treating that hopefully makes that better. Kegel exercises, the pelvic floor strengthening exercises, have been shown to have not much of a correction for this. It doesn't repair what has been done, but it actually slows down the progression of the disease. Of course, Kegel exercises, like any other exercises, you have to dedicate time to it. You can't just do Kegels at red lights or while watching TV. Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't develop muscles by doing push-ups at red lights or push-ups during TV commercials. He actually dedicated time to it, and this the same thing applies to pelvic floor exercises. So you really need to learn how to do them and then dedicate time to do it, and that actually impacts how well your pelvic floor holds up. Once things are not where they are supposed to be, you can, of course, try to seek the help of your physician in diagnosing it. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to share with you in a little bit how you can go about finding a provider that does some of this, so that way we can actually go and directly see a urogynecologist. There are some minor things that can help, as simple as just having the proper physical therapy that can help some of these symptoms. Of course, there are more advanced surgeries that would be impacted. This problem has been with us for many, many years. There are hieroglyphics in ancient Egypt that point towards this problem. And back then, there was a little device that would mechanically be placed inside the vagina, like a little tampon, and that would hold the weight of things up, correct it just mechanically. That device, now we call it pessaries, but there are very, very graphic and very accurate-looking hieroglyphics in ancient Egypt that actually describe prolapse, and they used to carve a pomegranate and place it in the right place. That's all this 5,000 years ago.
But I think many women are afraid to confront these symptoms and the underlying causes of these because they're afraid of surgery. And the reality is that surgery is rarely required. Is that correct?
The surgery is one of the tools among many tools that are available. Sometimes just medication can help. There are many different etiologies that can lead to these problems. So the goal should be identifying what it is that needs to be done. And then there are many different ways to achieve that same goal. So you can look at surgical options. You can look at medical options. We have another fancy word in our field called expectant management, basically, which means just wait it out. Probably it's going to get better. So seeing a urogynecologist doesn't necessarily have to lead to surgery. It is true we are a surgical subspecialty, but not every one of my patients ends up getting surgery. There are quite a lot of them that get non-surgical treatment. Some of them are little changes in lifestyle. Some of them could be little changes in medications that actually help relieve the symptoms. Let's say you have some sort of a blood pressure condition that you have to take the quote-unquote water pill for it. Sometimes the scheduling of the water pill can worsen the symptoms of getting up in the middle of the night. And it's with the help of your internal medicine doctor that a gynecologist or a urogynecologist or urologist can sit down and say, maybe we should just modify the schedule of this thing. Of course, these are not things to be done by yourself at home. Try to do bring in your physicians into it, because we don't want to do any type of an intervention that actually worsens the quality of life for you or potentially puts you in danger.
And we talk often on the show about polypharmacy and pharmacological reconciliation, pharmacy reconciliation, drug reconciliation, it really can make a very, very big difference. How do people reach you?
There are many, of course, I'm a practitioner here in South Florida. They can call the office for us. My office phone number is 954 area code 570-7644. We have a website that deals with some of these issues. I'm at Florida Robotic and Minimally Invasive Urogynecology. It's another one of those mouthfuls. F as in Frank, RMIU.com. So www.frmiu.com. Our national society is AUGS, A-U-G-S, for American Urogynecology Society. So AUGS, you can just go to Google and just put in A-U-G-S, and you're going to see that. There are directories on that website that you would put in your zip code, or you would put in your preferences of where you are, and they'd be able to just say, okay, this is a list of the providers in your area where you can reach someone, and of course they have the office numbers for them. Of course, reaching out to your own gynecologist or primary care physician or urologist or colorectal surgeon, they may have some resources available to you as
well. And I want to talk about how people get to you from their physician, what that chain looks like in just a second. But Dr. Rahi also practices out of a number of hospitals in our listening area. So that isn't the only place for you to see him. It's not just in his Coconut Creek office. You can see him at other locations. And we will give the number to reach him and his office again in just a minute. If you just tuned in, you're missing a very, very interesting show, particularly if your mom is getting older, because we have been dealing with urogynecological issues, urinary incontinence, fecal incontinence, prolapse, issues that confront nearly 50% of all women by the time they reach the age of 50. If that sounds like a show you wish you had tuned into earlier, I have good news for you. We podcast, so we will be up on all of the platforms pretty soon, if not late tonight, first thing tomorrow morning. We podcast, just search OMG, I Am Getting, and up we will pop. You can listen to this show or any of the other shows that we've done before. We also will put it up on our website, palmbeach.comforcare.com. That's palmbeach.comforcare, comforcare.com. If you don't have a radio, you only listen in the car and you wish you could listen at other times, I have good news for you. There's a smartphone app. There is an app for that. TuneIn Radio. You can listen wherever and whenever. Actually, you can listen whenever with podcasts, but you can listen wherever you are by just setting the TuneIn Radio app to 900 AM. The Talk of the Palm Beach is every Monday at 5 o'clock, and then we'll be there. Of course, we simulcast locally, statewide, nationally, and around the world, www.900thetalk.com. Next Monday night is President's Day, and we're going to replay a show that I did about 6 or 7 weeks ago that was a really fascinating show. We're going to talk about the special moments in time that changed your life, maybe forever. Barry Brett wrote a book on that subject. It was a really, really interesting show. So we're going to replay that, about those special moments in time with Barry Brett, and I encourage you to tune in next week. In 2 weeks, the Village People will be here. No, I'm only kidding. It's not the Village People, but we are going to be talking about the YMCA. It is still a viable organization that does so much to serve the needs of our entire community, and especially the community that listens to this show. So we're going to be talking about the YMCA in 2 weeks, and I encourage you to listen to that. But I still have a few minutes left with my guest, Dr. Rahi. Dr. Rahi, diagnosis of this leads to positive treatment, but not everybody knows how to diagnose this, and it's especially hard if you don't tell anybody about it. But how do people ultimately get to a urogynecologist? Is it through their urologist? Is it through the primary care? What's the process of that?
Urologists and gynecologists have always been two of the sources where patients present themselves and then they get sent to us. But I should also mention that internal medicine doctors, primary care providers, are also a goldmine when it comes to quality of life issues. A very large subset of my patients see their internal medicine provider or their family practice medicine physician, and they are the ones who say, by the way, I know a doctor down the hall in Atlantis or in Coconut Creek or whatnot who knows how to deal with this, and they get sent to me. Interestingly, I have also a subset of patients who get sent to me directly from cardiology. Urogynecology being a being a field that specializes in vaginal surgery, allows surgical management without need for very strong methods of anesthesia. So some patients who, let's say, have a bad heart, quote-unquote, and are unable to undergo traditional surgical approaches can have a minimally invasive approach, whether it's vaginal surgery that can be done under other methods of anesthesia that make it completely pain-free, at the same time would not require the big effort that the heart has to do during those surgeries. So a subset of my patients who were turned down by different providers because they were too, quote-unquote, sick to get surgery, end up getting a direct phone call to me from their cardiologist, and they come and see me. In general, the more you seek around, the more you learn not to negate your symptoms and not to deny your symptoms, the more options you'll find to reach a urogynecologist or someone who can properly diagnose or treat you. Your own physician is usually the best source to go to, but you can also go online. As I mentioned, our society has a very good website that goes over some of these symptoms. It's if you look at our society, American Urogyn Society, if you go to Google and just put in AUGS, that brings up the website for AUGS, American Urogyn Society, and under there is a very large section for patient education that you can go in. Of course, you're not going to learn how to diagnose yourself fully, but it gives you a lot of resources on what to look for, what are the things you can do to improve it, or if those things don't work, how to seek the care of the help of a professional.
And if somebody wants to talk to you specifically, let's give that information again. How do they get in touch with you?
Sure. I have an office in Atlantis and also in Coconut Creek. I go to those offices both during the week. The phone number for both of the offices is 954-570-7644. You can also go to the website that we have in our practice, www.frmiu.com. F as in Frank, RMIU.com.
And I think it's really important, I know we don't have a whole lot of time left, that this is not something that you should be embarrassed about, that there is help out there. There is help out there. You can restore your quality of life if they just talk to somebody like you.
Getting old should just mean that you're getting wiser on how to deal with your symptoms. That doesn't mean that you should limit yourself too much. So always be on the lookout for things that impact your quality of life. Instead of saying this is just part of getting old and you should just live with it, there are options that you can do to seek help and improve your quality of life. Of course, you don't have to be old to try to improve your quality of life. You can always start by having a healthy diet, healthy life, healthy habits to improve your life when you are getting older.
Yeah, and we didn't talk at all about a couple of things we wanted to talk about tonight. We didn't talk about how diet, and not diet just in terms of losing weight and exercising. I mean, that's really important. But what you eat can affect these. We didn't talk about that at all, which I'm sorry. We also didn't talk about the fact that you do vaginal rejuvenation surgery. We didn't talk about that at all. There's so much more. You've been a wealth of information, and I can't tell you how happy I am to have had you here tonight. I hope that you will consider coming back at another time.
Thank you very much for having me here. It's an honor to be here, and I enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you. This is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with Dr. Arush Rahi. Dr. Rahi is a urogynecologist. I read his bio, which is a terrific bio, but more importantly, he restores quality of life to women who are struggling with urogynecological issues that they may be embarrassed to deal with, and there is no reason for that. There is help, there is hope, and he's really, really good at that. If you're a new listener to our show, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom, talks about issues that confront boomers and their parents. We are here live every Monday night on 900 AM, The Talk of the Palm Beaches at 5 o'clock. We rebroadcast on Long Island at 103.9 Long Island's Talk Radio every Wednesday evening. We also rebroadcast in Gainesville on Wednesday evenings at 104.9, and then again here on 95.9 FM every Saturday morning. And we're going to begin to rebroadcast on 93.5 and 92.5, your oldie station. If not this week, it will be next week. So we'll be on 6 radio stations for you. My name is Scott Greenberg. We are here, of course, as I said, every Monday night. I'm going to be talking at an author's luncheon at Palm Isles this week if you have interest. And don't forget Ruth Rails if you have a family member with Alzheimer's and dementia. Have a good night, all. We'll see you next Monday. Enjoy the weekend and have a great time. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom.